60 years ago, Adolf Hitler launched a last attempt to maintain Germany's hold on Europe. On December 16, 1944, German troops blasted through Allied lines in the Ardennes forest of eastern Belgium. The goal was to humiliate American troops into surrender, and the attack did take American commanders by surprise. But the staunch resolve of the GIs on the ground held off the Germans in what proved to be a decisive battle. Alex Kershaw is the author of The Longest Winter, The Battle of the Bulge, and the epic story of World War II's most decorated platoon. He joins us from member station WAMC in Albany. Welcome.
Good to be with you.
Tell me about this platoon you chose.
The platoon I chose was what was called an intelligence and reconnaissance platoon. They were the eyes and ears, if you like, of an infantry regiment from the 99th Division. And they were an elite unit. They'd been hand-picked to perform a very dangerous, nerve-wracking job, which was to patrol behind enemy lines and feed back intelligence to their superiors. They did that job. They did it superbly well. They actually reported the night before the Germans launched their attack. They reported strange sounds. They provided the intelligence they were supposed to provide. Unfortunately, that was ignored. So these men, who had courageously risked their lives for several weeks to find out what the Germans were up to, then found themselves having to face the consequences of that Allied complacency when it came to intelligence. They themselves had to face the main brunt of the German attack.
They were derisively referred to by some as the quiz kids.
About half of them came from what was called the ASTP program, Advanced Specialized Training Program. These were college students, and they'd been kicked out of the ASTP program in 1943 because of a lack of numbers in the U.S. Army. Many of them were bitterly resentful that that happened. They'd had to score higher on application tests than officers to get into the ASTP program, and suddenly they were being bossed around by 20-year-olds who'd never been to college. What's interesting about the ASTP program, without going on too long, is that perhaps the best literature on the Second World War has come from writers who belonged to that ASTP program, namely Kurt Vonnegut, Gore Vidal, Norman Mailer. Their literature has been rather skeptical and less romantic than others because their illusions were dashed even before they got into combat.
Now, December 1944, they're in the Ardennes to collect intelligence and not equipped to defend themselves properly. And command doesn't first believe them. What do they do?
They carried out the order. 20-year-old Lieutenant Laubaut Jr., who's still alive to this day, ordered 18 of his men to hold at all costs. They, over the next 8 hours, repulsed 3 German attacks. They were literally pulled out of their foxholes, having expended their last grenade, their last bullets. They'd carried out that order to a man. In carrying out that order, they and many other similar units who acted just as selflessly were able to hold up the German advance for crucial hours, gave the Allies the time to regroup, withdraw, dig in, and fight what was the fiercest and longest battle in the European theatre of operations in the Second World War.
This was one of the greatest intelligence failures of the war, was it not?
It was the greatest intelligence failure of the Second World War. The Allies were taken completely by surprise. This created a great sense of crisis and shock within the Allied command. It deepened fissures between the Allies. For several days, there was what you can only describe as panic, as the Allies tried to react to what was Hitler's last great and absolutely brilliant plan of surprise attack.
The battle scenes you describe in great detail. Tell me how you managed to get such detail and recreate this in ways that really read like a novel in places.
I was very, very lucky. I'm a journalist, and when you discover that 8 men from such a decorated platoon are still alive today, and that also several others from the platoon wrote reports, all focusing on this one day's action, I was able, by travelling around the country and spending many, many hours with these men, to show exactly what it was like for the average American in the Battle of the Bulge.
Was it hard to get the men to go into great detail about such a painful time?
When it came to combat, they basically were very frank and forthright. When it came to discussing what had happened to them as POWs, as the Third Reich fell apart, they were very much more guarded. Some of them had actually decided that they didn't want to talk about it. When they were captured, they were put on POW trains. These trains had taken the German forces to the front lines. They took Allied prisoners away from them. As soon as the weather cleared on the 21st of December 1944, the greatest aerial attack in the Second World War hit anything that moved along the German lines and behind it, including any train. The Germans had not had time to mark these trains with the POW symbol. These men stayed on that train for 7 days. They'd received neither food nor water. The only two sources of warmth for these men were another man's embrace and a pile of feces in the corner of the boxcar. If you can imagine having survived 7 days in a boxcar and then to be machine gunned by your own side without being able to get out of that boxcar, you have a sense of what these men endured in just the first few days of their captivity.
You follow these men as they become POWs, and then you follow their lives in the States. Why did you do that?
I think it's important to humanize these men and to personalize and humanize war. 19,000 Americans died in the Battle of the Bulge, and many of them were not recognized. They were lucky enough to be recognized. They came home after that war. Every man had a family. Every man had a life. And that, to me, was positive. So much that I certainly have written about war is about death and destruction. But sometimes it's nice to focus on a story where men endure and are brave and selfless and full of duty and come back at home and live good lives.
Alex Kershaw is the author of The Longest Winter, The Battle of the Bulge, and the epic story of World War II's most decorated platoon. He joined us from WAMC in Albany. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Photos from The Longest Winter, plus an excerpt from the book, are at our website, npr.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.